You are listening to the Intentional Talk Radio Network. It is time for Smart Money Moves with Helena J. Connolly. It's going to be a great show. Stick around. You want to get all of the information. It is time for Helena J. Connolly with Smart Money Moves. Hi, Helena.
Hello, hello, hello out there, everyone. You guys know if I'm here, it is hump day. So happy hump day to everybody out there and welcome to today's episode of Smart Money Moves with Helena. I'm excited. So you guys know I'm always looking forward to this second and this fourth Wednesday because I want to have some really good conversations with you about money. And so today's show, and you'll be hearing from some oldie but goodie voices and a few new voices as well as we talk about moms and money. Okay. I have a lot of people in my world, as we all do, who are mothers. And it's always, I get quite often, different opinions than maybe myself that is single with no kids when it comes to priorities of money. And so I thought it'd be a good show for us to dive into today, especially with all of the stats and numbers that are coming up around what it's costing these days to raise children. So I am excited. I have a nice range of mothers that I'm looking at on this screen here. I think everybody but me is a mother on this call right now. And I know I have some, I think we're from age late 30s to 80, right? So we got a lot of options on here. Now I have some mothers who have two children on this call. I have some mothers that have, I know they're coming in, that have one child.
Boatloads.
Say it again.
Boatloads.
But oh, I'm about to give you some numbers. You're going to be real shocked, right? I have some mothers that have four kids on here, including a set of twins. And I see one of my dear friends, she's on here and she has 10 children. 10 and exact boatloads, like you said, collect boatloads, right? And so, and she lives in Southern California. So yes, yes, I have some very close in age. I got some twins and I got the whole gamut. I think one of our guests today, who I'm gonna let her share a little bit about herself, her kids are literally every age. So every year she's popping somebody off in college. So it's a lot. So I'm going to just quickly introduce my guests for today, and they can jump in and just, you know, share a little bit, whatever they choose to. Just a quick intro of yourselves, so the listeners out there know who they are listening to. I first have, of course, our oldie but goodie, not in age, but in always being with me on this show, Miss Wyvette Johansson, up in the Bay Area, who is the mother of two boys. So
two boys.
Quickly, Wyvette, just give us something real quick.
I am the mom of two boys, 27, and my oldest one just turned 31. My oldest child is a teacher in Japan. My youngest child is a photographer in LA who just told me, Helena J, that he's moving to London. So we'll see about that.
I love that you said they're grown. 27 and 31, you can make them decisions and pay for those decisions yourself. So that is our Wyvette Johansson. Then we have our other oldie but goodie. Absolutely. Don't mean old as in old, but this is Dr. Virginia Hathaway, who is our eldest on here today, who is the mother of two grown boys and a whole bunch of grandkids. So just tell us real quick, Dr. Hathaway.
Good afternoon. Yes, indeed. I'm the mom of two grown sons and the grandmom of seven, five granddaughters and two grandsons. And just so thrilled to be here to be able to keep on learning from Helena J. Connolly, also my niece.
Y'all wouldn't believe it. Y'all wouldn't believe it. That is Dr. Hathaway and she is sitting at 80, y'all. So she gonna have some experience for us on today's show. So thank you. Next up, I see Miss Tisa Van, a friend of mine. Jump in here. Give us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Tisa. I am an educator. I was an educator. I have two sets of children. I have grown children and young children. Yes, I did that. I decided to do it all over again. And it has been a joy, you know.
I love it. I love. How old are your kids?
I have an 8 and a 10 year old, and I have a 27 year old and a 24 year old.
I love it. Two totally different sets. I look at my brother.
I did that.
You did. I look at my brother and his wife.
Like, what?
Exactly. My brother and his wife, they have.
What were you not thinking?
People do it on purpose, Colette. They do.
They do it on purpose. That's right.
They do it on purpose. My brother and his wife, they have a 17-year-old daughter and a 2, almost 3-year-old son. So, yes, folks do this intentionally, start the wheel all over again. So
I guess it's still a chance for me, huh?
I love it. All right, Miss Colette, I'm going to call on you. You go ahead and tell us just about you. I know you got some cheering out there, too. Tell us.
Oh, yeah. Boatload of them suckers. Boatload. I'm 70.
Love it.
Yes, I got a whole bunch of them folks. I have, actually 3 daughters.
Okay.
And 3 girls, granddaughters. 10, and she says she will tell you she's 21, but she will be 11 on November 15th. And then the other 2 are 6 and 8, I think.
I love
and
it.
And so, yeah, children, yes. I wish I had 10. My daughter is not going to like that, but I wish I had 10 because you know what? 10 is like 2. 10 is like 2, especially when they're good kids. 10 is like 2. That's a whole lot to raise, but 10 is like 2. When they're good kids, 10 is like 2. I have a niece in Georgia, in Atlanta. She's got 10 kids. It's like 2. She's got
all I want adults. With 10 is digits. Yes, behind my kids. Money. Digit it's behind like my money.
Yeah. It's like 2. You know, 2 can be just as expensive as 10.
You can have that. I love you, though. I do. I really
I'm
do.
I'm just saying.
Next up, I'm going to introduce, we have Miss Angela Whitfield on here. Talk to us, my love.
I'm so glad you said 10 is like 2.
No, thank
Miss Colette. Because I used to feel that way all the time. So I'm the mom with the 10. My husband and I, we have 10 together. We had 11. One passed away. So we have 9 girls and 1 boy. And he's number 8. So I was praying, like, Lord, 8 new beginnings. So let this be a boy. And so I was happy. So I was totally surprised when I delivered him. But, yes, so we live in Southern California, actually in Koreatown. So that's where we are. And we're raising them all. So together. Yes. So we have 3 in college right now. And in high school, we have a senior, a junior, and a freshman. And then we have 2 in middle school and 2 in elementary.
Wow. God bless you.
Amen.
That's a whole lot of fun.
Everything. That's a lot of mouths to feed.
That's a whole lot of mouths to feed, but it's still a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. It didn't seem like it was a lot to me.
That's right.
So yeah. Damn good. Praise God.
It didn't seem like it was a lot. There is nothing that has 10 and not a lot in the same sentence. They don't go together.
But like she said, when they're good. 2 was a lot for me, so I can't even imagine 10. So.
Yeah.
So,
right. When they're good kids.
Everybody has their share.
Yeah, when they're good kids, you can have 2 and they can drive you crazy. You can have 1.
I had 2 good ones, though.
I got 2 good ones, and the one can be hell on wheels. Okay.
So my 2. I ain't got no kids. Y'all know that, right? But I am a part of a bunch of 2, right? So my parents had 2 children, right? Mm-hmm. And those 2 children are great. They're amazing. They're probably some of the most wonderful creatures in the world. But that's enough. Yeah, that's enough. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Next up, we have Miss, if you can unmute and talk to us. I know I'm be calling on you anyway. I think I have Miss LaKeisha on here. Another dear friend of mine. If not, I'm going to share her story. But if you can, there you go.
I'm here.
Hi, darling.
Hello, everyone. Yes. So my name is LaKeisha, and I am a former educator in the classroom, current homeschool educator. And I have 4 children. My oldest will be 15 next week. They are boy-girl twins. And then I have a son that's 13 and a daughter that's 11. And, you know, I definitely think once you get past 2, it's all the same. However, when we go out to do things, that my theme was always that it's $100 no matter where we go. Pizza, movies, doesn't matter. It's always at least $100. So on that part, I not so much enjoyed that.
It's $100 when me and my kids go. It's $100 when me, when three of us go. So it doesn't matter. It's $100 anyway. You can go by yourself and it's still $100.
I'm going to remind y'all, I'm the math major here. I'm the math teacher here. 2 and 10 are not the same thing. They are just not. I don't care what y'all say. 2 times 2 is not 10. Like two, nothing in 2 is 10 but a 5. I'm telling y'all, that ain't it. All right. If you can, I don't know. I see I have Keeve on here. If you can unmute, if not, don't worry about it. And I see I have Joy on here. You didn't even know you're going to be participating, but if you can, go ahead.
Which is on introductions. You probably
just how many kids you got? How old are they?
Okay. Hi everybody. I'm Keeva. I'm calling out of Atlanta. So that's why it's dark. I am a mom of one. One and only, and she is 12, and she plays lacrosse, so I'm sitting in my car as she's playing lacrosse right now, practicing, so.
Tell my baby how to get the car.
Yeah.
And Keeva, I don't know if you heard the first part of this, but one of our guests here has 10 kids, and they keep talking about 1 and 2 is all the same as 10, which they're not, but just know we're going to keep on talking about that.
My ex-husband, I'm happily divorced. My ex-husband was the youngest of 10.
Yeah.
And I have stories. So I'm not saying all kids turn out like that, but everybody, there's always going to be something.
I love it. I love it.
One, I'm telling you, one can cost you much more than 10.
It can, but the numbers are not the same. Joy, you want to introduce yourself, or if you feel like it, if not, I understand.
Oh, sure.
Hey, darling.
Hey, so my name is Joy and I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and I have 2 boys, a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Ooh, boys. Okay, so we got Wavette with the boys, Joy with the boys, Tisa only has 1 boy, Dr. Hathaway got the boys, Keisha got the perfect mix, 2 and 2. All right, okay, because I believe that's going to be part of the conversation when it comes to money, the differences between raising boys and raising girls. So my first question, thank you guys all for being here. Did you know I don't have experience in this? Yes, I was a teacher, so I did work with the youth, but I can always kick them out. I can send them home. I don't have to love them. I ain't got to talk to them. Like, you guys have things and responsibilities that are different than me, right? So I'm glad to have you moms in here. I'm very, very excited about our show today. And here is how I want to start the conversation. So of course, you can always try to do some research and look up some stats because numbers is my thing. One of the conversations that we've been having a lot of and has been brought up, you know, more times than not is, what does it actually cost to raise a child, right? Because we're talking about money, right? We know that there's a big cost to raising children. And I've seen so many different stories. The number in, what was it, in 2015 by the USDA, right, Department of Agriculture, was that it cost about $233,000 to raise a child to the age of 18. Now, that was in 2015. So if we adjust that for inflation, we're looking at $286,000, they say, right, in 2022. Right? That's just from one of the sources. Wall Street Journal says it's about $300,000. Investopedia says about $310,000. So let's just say it costs $300,000 to raise one child. So I'm going to keep letting y'all say that one is the same as 10. It's just not. But it's okay. $300,000 to raise a child in today's world. People don't even see that in the 10 years of working. A lot of people, according to the median incomes that are out there, right? So let me ask you guys this question. What are your priorities? And jump in, because I do want to hear from everybody. I really want this to be nice and interactive. As a parent, as a mother, right, first and foremost, what are priorities? What are your priorities around money? And anybody feel free to jump in and start it off. What are your priorities around money?
Jump in, because I talked about this a little bit on the last call, but my priorities are making sure that the expenses are met for her extracurricular, like the fundamentals for sure, and then for her extracurriculars, and then also, so there's pretty much 3 fundamentals, extracurriculars, and then college, because I did not have college savings and I still went to the private institution that I wanted to go to, but I'm now paying for that still 20 years after graduating. So I want to make it easier on her, considering now school's three times more expensive too. So those are my three priorities.
So let me ask a question about that before we jump in. And again, we just gonna have a good old conversation with this. So you said extracurriculars are a second on your priority list as far as money.
Yes, because she's, this is, yeah.
Why?
Her, not mine. Not
no, 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 I know that. Why?
Oh, because this is what fuels her, right? So it was dance for 10 years and now it's lacrosse. So I want her to be able to do it. Like I didn't have any extracurriculars outside of like school volleyball. I wasn't able to travel and do all that stuff like the way she does it. So it's a huge expense for me because I'm the only one paying for it. So it's important to me to make sure I can sustain that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I love it. And again, there's no judgment here from me, the person with no children, you guys. It's not. I'm just very curious of the convo. Go ahead, Colette.
As I said before, I'm 70. Mm-hmm. My oldest is going to be 44 just before Thanksgiving. I think it's 44. It's either 44 or 45. And my youngest is 40. And when they were children, 44. And when they were children, and when I was a kid, the extracurricular activities that they were involved in didn't look anything like the activities mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. They did not look like this. And along with all of the things that we are lacking and the things that we have literally lost is the ability for people to understand that here in California, it is expensive just to exist,
yes.
not to live, but to exist. Kids absolutely must have extracurricular activities. It's mm-hmm. a must. It's absolutely a must. We're trying to raise well-rounded people. So when kids don't have extracurricular activities, you're raising kids in an area or in a way that does not allow them to be expressive. It does not allow them to think on their feet. It doesn't help them to develop critical thinking skills, which are extremely important. That is as important as one's intellect. So when I raised my kids, they could be in extracurricular activities and it didn't cost me a lot. That was when I had a whole bunch of money. Still mm-hmm. didn't cost me a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came up, we never thought about a cost to go to after school activities. It mm-hmm. just didn't happen. My mother got us up at 7:30. No, I'm sorry. She got us up at 6:30 in the morning to take us to swimming lessons at 7 in the morning at John Muir High School. And it didn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, swimming lessons for my granddaughter, I can't tell you. Her extracurricular activities up there, she goes to John Muir. And to be in cheer at 10 years old, it's over and above $200. $200 was just the base. And everything else is added on top every week. And I'm going, what the H-E double hockey sticks? Really? For what? And it's a ghetto organization that I never would have put her in. So the other things that are so expensive, I'm looking at, I'm going, why? And what's the difference between now and then? And when my kids went to college, I made sure that they went to college. They didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have a choice. I was not going to have somebody at home. That wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent mine. I did pack your bags because we out of here. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole conversation about college. Yeah, I got that on my list to talk about. So we're going to get to that for sure.
Extracurricular activities are very different now. There's a cost to everything. And I mean everything. And it's not a minimal cost.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a cost that has you going, well, dang, do we eat? Do I buy gas? Or do I do this?
My question is, or do you save? But we're going to get to that. Let me get a couple more. Y'all jump in here and tell me. What is the priority? Go ahead, Wabette.
For me, it's kind of like what Colette was saying. So I'm 57. And so we're like 30 years ago, okay? And for me in my household, education was key. It was number one priority, no matter what. I went to public school. I had a great public school, no problem. I had my kids and we lived in Oakland. And at that time, Oakland schools, not only were they not good, but they were also violent. In other words, it wasn't even safe. Mm. So I had to go look for a private school. And while I went to every private school out here, I've been there and researched it. And so I didn't realize what a private school costs. So Kevin goes to private school. I think it was like maybe like 500 or something like that a month or something like that, you know. And I didn't realize that every year it goes up.
Yes. Everything goes up every year. Yes.
And now I got two kids. So it's like my whole livelihood was about keeping those kids in that private school. And then talk about extra stuff besides that, that cost. I remember they had like once a year, towards the end of the year, they had this trip thing. And you can have your child go to Hawaii or go here. That's like extra. I was like, I didn't go to Hawaii when I was in school. Education. What are they talking about? So the cost of my whole livelihood from kindergarten through 12th grade was about keeping those kids in that private school.
Okay. I'm gonna keep on going around this wheel right here, and then I got some questions. Who's next? Who else wants to jump in there? What are some priorities?
I'll jump in. So as an educator, you know, as when I had my students, they had a really hard time writing because they didn't have any experiences. So for me, when both sets of kids, it was very important that whenever there was an experience, I was able to afford it. And I put them in charter schools, mm-hmm. but they did take those trips to Cuba and to Washington, D.C., and everything was $2,500, and I had my teacher salary, single parent, you know, and I had to work that out. So it was really tough for me, but, you know, I had to make it happen.
I love it. So experiences. I don't know that I've heard that way before. It was a priority.
Yeah, I had some students like, hey, if you could do anything, what would you like to do? And they were like, we want to go to Chili's. And I was like, oh, no, you know. So anytime anything comes up, I just had to make sure I had the money to send my kids. They had their passports all stamped up in middle school and high school. I didn't have a passport. But, you know, that's what was very important to me.
I love it. That was a priority. It made a lot of sense to that to you for that. Who else?
Well, I certainly, my children were growing up in the 80s and the 90s, and they were in public school, but my husband and I were determined that they would certainly complete the education. The interesting part is about the extra fees for extracurricular, because at that point in time, we accessed community activities, and they were on the baseball team, they were in basketball, and we took advantage of those community programs. Although there were some concerns about safety in the community, because I lived in the hood, and there were, but that was not a deterrent. We knew that once that education was foremost in their minds, they would be able to take advantage of the opportunities. And of course, I worked as an educator, and I did have access to a number of additional resources. So it was a community, because we are family wherever we may reside. And we took advantage of those opportunities. The education counts. And what did the teacher say? It's a balancing act. You really do. And when Kiva said that the extracurricular fees and well, that with those funds, Cuba and London or wherever they're going, that's important because they do need those experiences when they get into college. You said we're going to talk about that.
I love it. So again, we have a couple more people joining in. Thank you for that, Dr. Hathaway. The question is, what are your priorities about money, around money, as a mother in particular? And Lakeisha, I saw you, you ready to say something? Go ahead and jump in there.
Oh, I was saying these are great responses so far. I agree, actually. When I think of priorities, I mean, I think there's so many. It's like a color wheel. It's just some have a little more space than the other. So I would definitely say, first and foremost, I have to protect my kids because they're my responsibility. I take that as a responsibility, whether I'm living or whether I'm not. So first thing for sure, when my husband and I got married, we were introduced to the concept of life insurance. And so I wanted to make sure that no matter what happens in this life, my kids will never have to worry about financially suffering. So that was first. And then second was building up a future for them that looked even better than what mine has looked like. And don't get me wrong, I feel extremely blessed for my life today. And there are specific things that I feel that I learned later on in life, and teaching my children as children to have that mindset now will make a difference. And so I'm saving also, putting money aside towards that. And I know this is unpopular opinion, especially me being an educator, but the money that I save up for my children, yes, I am calling it a college fund, but from the very beginning, I told my children that if they do the work to obtain scholarships, that money will be for other things for them. So as an added incentive for them to push academically and with their extracurriculars, I totally agree. We are raising whole children and they need to have many experiences outside of the classroom to build who they are. So it's a future fund in my mind. So whether that is purchasing their first investment property, starting their first business, whatever that might be, that is what that money that I'm setting aside for them would be for. And then I totally agree with extracurriculars and travel. Those are really big ones as well. And learning opportunities, broadening the way they view the world. And that's also important to me.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Colette, you had a question before we jump into a couple more people. Go ahead.
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment.
Yes.
But I wanted to comment on what Lakeisha just said. Mm-hmm. And she said that, and she's got young children. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate those who are my junior and the fact that a lot of you are talking about putting money away, saving money. When you got married, you started an insurance policy. When I was that age, when I was coming out of college and going to college, coming out, starting a business. My husband and I started a business in 1974. And that was what we did. I'm from a generation that was not as aggressive as your generation is now when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. Because what I was taught, and Dr. Hathaway may also agree, is that money is, you absolutely have to have it.
Yes.
But what's important is the person, the human being. That human connection is far greater than the money. But nowadays, that has changed drastically and mm-hmm. dramatically. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, the money is more important. The mm-hmm. money is more important than the individual. And it's something that we don't necessarily say, but just like Lakeisha said, it doesn't matter whether they're here or not. They'll have the money. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, I was in a gas station out in West Covina. We lived in San Dimas. And a couple pulled into the gas station behind me. And this couple, they no doubt lived in their car. Mm-hmm. And their car wasn't really a car. It was more like Fred Flintstone's car. Mm-hmm. And I thought, they don't put gas in that. Because it was just pieces of a car. But inside of that car, it was loaded up to outside mm-hmm. of the car. Mm-hmm. But they were all over each other. I could tell that they didn't just meet. They were all over each other. And I looked at them and I went, I got a lot of money, but I don't have that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're in living in times now where you're absolutely right. And you ladies are absolutely right. You have to make a way for your children, because without that way for your children nowadays, it ain't cute. It is not cute. It will require that everybody contribute. That ain't the way you want to go.
And the money can help them make more connections.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's money right. matters.
And nowadays where we would like to live in a society where everyone reached back and pulled someone up, that mm-hmm. ain't the way we live nowadays. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is not how we lived. When I came up, and Dr. Hathaway might agree, when I came up, we were always always taught to reach back and pull someone up. We were taught the community living. We were taught, yeah. My mother taught us the community of living.
I think we all felt that. All of us on this call felt that, that somebody definitely reached back for us.
You and have so to reach back. And I work just like Dr. Hathaway. I still work for LAUSD.
Oh,
yeah.
You're
right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely 1,000% right. I feel the same way. But we don't reach back in the way that we should. We don't have that commune. We don't have that community. We don't have that way of making sure that when I take a step, they take a step with me. When I save, I'm making sure somebody else saves. When I do, somebody else is going to do it. That is the way we were brought here to this country.
Yeah.
We were brought here as slaves, but it ain't the same. God wanted us to live that way. That's not what we're doing now. So again, I commend you ladies on what you're doing. Lakeisha and Angela, baby, you got my vote. Okay.
Angela, you are the person I wanted to ask that. Okay. With 10 children, tell me, what are your priorities around money?
So I'm just going to give it to you raw. Okay. So my thing is just my priorities around having money was, first of all, having some. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, my husband and I, we got married at 23 and 24. Mm-hmm. So we were very young. And so within months of us getting married, you find out we had our first child. So we were having our first child. And mm-hmm. I found out in January I was pregnant with our first child. Mm-hmm. And so even though we wanted to wait and I wanted to establish that, you know, that freedom and building, you know, like 4 or 5 years, that cushion at least, the God was like, no. So for me, I just, we were living like in survival mode, like young families do. It's like, okay, you get the money in, you're paying the bills, you're paying for the diapers, you're paying for all these things. And so even though I was working at first, we had gotten to the point where we had our second child that I was able to come off my job. And it wasn't because, oh, it was a buttload of money coming in, but it was just because, you know what, I'm ready to take all the responsibility of my family and you can just stay home. And I had that desire when I was younger and we counted the cost, like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. But it was just something that God wanted us to do. And I'm glad I did, because I didn't know how many children we were going to have. I knew he wanted 3. That's what he said at first. And then God was just like, yeah, we're going to just keep going. And I was like, okay. And so, but I thank God, but it definitely the lesson, cause I didn't, it was just 2 of us too, just my brother and I. My dad came from a large family. It was 16 of them, 8 boys and 8 girls. And so, you know, I just thank God, like my parents, you know, they didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have that money conversation in our home. So of course, naturally you parent the way you were parented. And so we didn't have those conversations. So a lot of those things I wasn't really privy to. So of course, you know, I always wanted the education. Okay. When I do get some money, I want to know how to be able to be a good steward over it. But just honestly speaking, it was just, you know, my family, we're just getting to a point now. And I thank the Lord for the career that I'm in now. But it's just now, especially since it's getting real, we have adults and they're going to college. And
one after the other.
One after the other.
3 in so the next 4 years and 3 already there.
Right. Yeah. You know, but I thank God because he kept us. And I learned so much from that time. Because one of the things my mother used to tell me when we were growing up, like, you know, people would think, you know, you guys are spoiled. You're spoiled, huh? You get everything you want. And I'm like, my mom would tell me, you're not spoiled with a lot of things, but you're spoiled with love. So that was the things that we grew up with, was just making sure that, you know, my brother and I got along, my mother, my father, and the 4 of us, we were just very close. And so that's just one of the things that I learned and carried over now to my family, was just that love. And of course now, yes, money is important. Yeah. And I want my children to know how important it is as well. But it's just one of those things where that's just what it's been for a long time. But God has definitely kept us. And I think he honors that, and he honored my husband and his decision through these years to even keep us to where we can able to survive and still thrive. And our children are going to college now. So
I love how you just threw in there that your dad was 1 of 16. Like, you just eased that on in the conversation. Like, this is a normal thing that you deal with on a regular basis. 16, that's like, yeah. I love it.
I have a gang of first cousins.
That part, right?
Right.
So a question that I have, and Lakeisha mentioned it in talking about her priorities, is this, it was not a question. It's a real push and a suggestion. And I don't know everybody's, you know, situation here, but I would absolutely say as a parent, I think one of the number one priorities is absolutely having life insurance. And I don't say that because I'm in the industry. I say that because if the kids' well-being is a priority, which every single one of you mothers is saying, then God forbid anything happen to you, how financially different is their life? We know their love is totally different. We understand how they move through life is totally different. But financially, what is the impact if you are not here? I was talking to a lady. Her father passed away at 14 years old, and she's now, I think, 37. So for her, we really just went through and I said, how do you think from 14 to now 37? Because most people think they're like, oh, when you get 20, 25, maybe 30, you don't, you know, financially deal with your parents in that sense anymore. And she really went through and started thinking about it. And there was, you know, millions of dollars that she did not have because her father passed away at 14 years old. And no one on here wants to pass away before their kids are full grown and taken care of. And nobody wants to pass away before their child anyway, I'm sure. But not having enough protection in place is to me a very, very, very scary thing, because I know for all parents, especially mothers, your priority is your child. And so you got to make sure that you review that, you revamp that, you go get more of it, do whatever you need to do. But in making sure that your kids have what they need, just like you said, Lakeisha, that's a really great point. Even if you're not here, that means you have to have that right amount of life insurance. So I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to jump in? Feel free. If not, I am definitely having another question for us. So, and Angela, you kind of talked about it already. You're talking about what we learned, right? So one of the questions that I have is, what is it that you guys, you mothers, you teach your kids about money? What do you teach your kids about money? Jump in. I see it's trying to reach for the computers. Go ahead, Tisa.
So I taught my children what my grandmother taught me, which was to save. And that's just not enough today. Just save. My grandmother just instilled, put 10% away. Pay yourself 10% over and over again. It was drilled in my head, so I gave that to my children. Mm-hmm. My grown children now, with the knowledge that I have now compared to when they were younger, I do try to prepare them. You know, we're in the middle of a recession. Move differently. Save your funds. And, of course, you know, recently have my daughter sit in to hear about the life insurance plan that she should have.
So you said for you, it's teaching what you taught, same thing that Angela said, but the main thing was to save, right? How to, I don't know that that's taught, but to be able to save. And it was always 10%, 10%, 10%. Okay, I love it. Lakeisha, go ahead.
First lesson I taught my children with money is that it's earned. It's earned.
Okay.
So, you know, and there are many ways to do that. But the second thing I taught them was the importance of tithing. I didn't understand how to teach them savings at the time in the early years because I was still learning what that meant and why it was important. But now, fast forward, one of the lessons, now that I have teenagers that have, you know, quote unquote, their own money, is that if they don't have three times the amount of something they want to purchase, they don't have enough money to purchase it. And okay. For me, that's a fundamental principle that I want them to have, because the paycheck to paycheck mentality that I had, like Angela, my husband and I got married at 20 and 21. I think that's what it was. And so we definitely had nothing. We were just starting out, but we had very big dreams, but not a lot of knowledge and understanding. Money was not talked about. And so I wanted them to just have the mindset. I would, as the kid, spend everything that I had, and that carried into adulthood. And so I just wanted them to look at their money differently when they view the things that they want. It's okay to desire things, but in order to think about not just what you want right now, you need to have three times what you need before you purchase it.
I love it. I love it. That's very just simple. I absolutely love it. Go ahead, Wapet.
Okay. Well, once again, I'm older. So back then, I don't think I taught them anything. I mean, I was just trying to pay the bills. So it wasn't like I was teaching them anything. Now, and I will say when I was growing up, we got paid for our grades. So the better your grades were, the more money you got. So once again, in my household, it was all about education. So for Kevin and Brian, I did that. You know, they had, matter of fact, we didn't have, I didn't pay them for chores, honestly, but I paid them for their grades.
Yes.
And it's funny because my kids are opposites. Brian's a saver. Kevin will spend every dime that he has. They are, and I don't know how, but they are just two opposite. I mean, Brian will save to his last breath. If he wants something, he will save for it. Kevin, every week there's an Amazon box at my doorstep. So I don't know how they came out like that, but so I didn't teach them like that as far as to do that because I wasn't taught like that. I'm just out there just trying to make, you know, pay the bills. But I think that by them watching me, unfortunately, I think that in their mind, they thought that money was, that things came easy.
Yeah.
That in other words, I didn't work hard because I didn't show them that I told them that if you want something, you know, you go to school, get good grades, get some money. And so I remember when we were talking about Brian going to college, and I was like, Brian, where's your FAFSA form? FAFSA, do we need that? Yeah.
Yes.
Because in Brian's mind, mom paid for everything. And I was like, yeah, I need that. So in their minds, it's like, oh, mom got it. It's not a big deal. So if I were to go back, I would have definitely shown my kids more my struggle, which I did not. At all.
I hear that often from parents. Yeah. I absolutely do. Sequoia, so you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I did have my hand raised. hi, everybody. I'm sorry.
Hi.
I have two girls. I didn't get to introduce myself earlier, but I have two daughters. My oldest is 12. She just turned 12 a couple weeks ago. And then I have a 7-year-old. So with me and my girls, the first thing I teach them is all about education. I'm right there on board with Helena and just saying education is key, not only the school education, but I'm also teaching them about saving. I'm an 80s baby, and so I was always provided for, but my parents never really went into the details about balancing accounts and saving money and the importance of life insurance and 401ks and all these other things. So being on with Helena, I've really gotten into, you know what, that education is important because we weren't taught it. So now I feel like I'm playing catch up from after years and years of working. Now I'm like, okay, well, let me get on this. So I said, I don't want to do the same thing with my kids. So I'm teaching them about the importance of savings. And so if they get cash of any part, I save it and I let them know, hey, we're saving it. And for the most part, I have been managing their money, but I will, like, they like to go in and count it. Okay, you can count it, but this is actual currency. So we're not going to play with it. It's not toys. We save it. You know, if they want to buy something, then, okay, do you have enough money for them? And I'll let them count it. And if they have enough money, I'll pay for it, but let them save their money. And so by doing that, I'm just giving them a mindset to be mindful of not overspending and not overextenuating themselves. So those are my two big things with my girls now. And then of course, as they get older, I have every intention on getting into the life insurance because like I said, I feel like I was late coming to the party. So I don't want to do that same thing with them. I want them to go into the party ready and going into their adulthood and going into college. I've also, you know, hey, we're going to college. we're going to make that happen regardless. So I've already been instilling those little thoughts so that they know this is just going to be a part of my norm. And saving has definitely been a big one. And then as they grow, it'll go into the life insurance and the saving for your future and retirement and things of that sort. And that's just key to me as a mother raising two Black women.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Does anybody remember that episode back in the day of the Cosby Show when Theo wanted his parents' money and Bill Cosby, Dr. Huxtable, took the actual Monopoly money out and he played with Theo and he said, okay, so let's talk about this, right? Okay, so you want to live a good life, right? So it's going to cost you what, right? So he did rent, right? He pulled out food, hanging out. He did clothes. He was like, no, take extra money for the clothes, right? Because he wants to look good, right? I think that is such a fundamental activity that needs to be done. And I know it was the only, literally the only assignment I did as a math teacher in high school and or in college, because I taught them both, in which we talked about money. It was the only piece of the curriculum where we talked about money, was to do a life skills project where they decided what career they wanted to go into, find out and research how much money that career made, talk to their parents and figure out how much it cost to live. Now, this is back in 2003 when I was in the classroom, and it was literally, that was the extent of us teaching money. So we know that money is not being taught in the schools. And so one of the priorities that I hope all of the mothers make, and all the people who have young kids, they're still raising older kids, it doesn't matter, is that you prioritize educating your kids about money. Make sure that they have a good relationship with money. I am a person that is opposed to, you know, people, the certain sayings where people talk about, if you have, you know, all bad people have all that money, right? They make money and having a lot of it, a very negative thing. I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate you saying that, you know, you can't have every single thing that you want, right? That's one thing I appreciated about my parents. They didn't have, you know, tons of money. Everybody, you know, made six figures, but that does nothing, in my opinion, in Southern California. But in dealing with those things, for me, they always said, we will give you everything that you need, but we're going to give you the opportunity to work for everything that you want. And so there was nothing for me that I could not have. And they never cut it off. They never made it seem like, no, it wasn't. Well, they weren't going to pay for it. Their money wasn't going to do it. But I started working for my mother, don't report me, but at the age of 8, because she had her own business. So she was in the garment industry. And when I would come home, she was a pattern maker. So I would come home and on their bedroom door, I would see patterns hanging. And I knew it was time for me to make money. So I knew from a very, very early age, fundamentals, as you said, Kiva, at the beginning, were going to be taken care of. But all of those other things, I had to figure out how to do that. And they gave me the wings to do so and made sure that I was able to go and get that. Okay. Now I'm going to shift this. And parents, mommies, don't hate me. Okay. Please don't hate me. Please, please, please don't hate me. One thing I see in working in the money industry, you guys, is a lot of what you do for your kids, it becomes, or it comes at a detriment to your financial future. I don't want you to be mad at me to think that I'm saying that kids should not have all these wonderful things that you guys are talking about. But I'm absolutely saying, if your savings that you need for your future, however you choose to do it, does not line up with what you will need, then there has to be a balancing act in spending in today and saving for tomorrow. Because here's what we see, and I know all of us see it. All of us see it some way, somehow. It may not be with our parents, but we see it in the world. It is very easy to unintentionally become a financial burden on your children. And we as children, I feel a huge obligation to make sure that I take care of my parents wherever they may lack. And they only lack because they didn't know inflation was going to be what it was. There's not one parent or grandparent today that thought it would cost $8 to fill up a gallon of gas. There's not one person that thought that. There's not one parent today that thought it would cost however much it costs for milk. I don't look at the cost. Sorry, I'm just that person. But Yo Colette, we have an issue with that all the time. But there's not one person that thought these costs would be what they are. So I really, really, really push and pressure parents to say, don't not give your kids the world. But you got to work more hard. You got to earn more money, because you still have to save to make sure you are financially okay. because what, especially if y'all got boys, sorry, love my boys, but if y'all got boys, they don't take care of the mamas like the girls do, just letting y'all know, right? But you gotta make sure at the end of the day, at the end of the day, if we are all gonna live till we're 100 years old, it's gonna cost a whole lot of money.
There is.
$100,000 if everybody wants to live off of today is going to cost you about $500,000 in 30, 40 years. I know it sounds stupid, you guys. It's a really stupid big number, but you can pull out a calculator from anywhere. And one thing that I really, really encourage everybody is, like I said, do what you have to do so your kids can have everything that they need in the world. But just make sure you understand that self-preservation is the first law of nature. You have to financially be okay. And I see you, Joy. You said my boys better take care of me. I'm just telling y'all, I got a brother. I love him to death. But the daughter is going to be the one.
That's exactly right. That is precisely right. Daughters do, and sons typically do not. That's absolutely daughters
do. And it doesn't mean they don't love you, but if they... especially if they go get married and they go have own family, taking care of their family, right? So you better have, like Lakeisha said, enough insurance that you can that you can access while you're alive. It's not death insurance, y'all. Life insurance that you can access while you're alive. Enough savings in whatever different vehicles you're using, and you should have a lot of them, but you gotta have enough money to live. Because when that time comes, we don't want to have to put that financial burden on our children. You want to prep them so that they're good to go, but you don't want to put that financial burden on your kid. And I just always try to make sure I put that out there for parents. And again, I hope I don't offend anybody out there. It just has to be something, because we see it every single day. And maybe you're financially looking at your parents' situation and you see a need to help them more and more, where it's only going to get more expensive. It's only going to get a lot tougher. So you got to be able to make sure that you are the priority, oxygen mask on you first, and then make sure that you're doing what you need to do. But I will tell you, there are ways to do that and still prioritize the kid, right? So I had a couple people, and I think I saw some hands go up. Was there anybody else that wanted to share about what they teach their kids about money? No? What'd you say, Colette?
I said, I'm still teaching mine.
Oh, exactly. It does not stop.
Right? No, it never stops.
It continuously goes. Does anybody have anything they want to share about what I said about the prioritizing of yourself? Or no, you parents, mothers don't agree.
I love that you said that. Sorry.
No, it's okay. You have 10 of them. Somebody gonna take care of you. Good to go. You're gonna have at least half of them that's gonna take care of you. See, that's where 2 and 10 are not the same. You gonna have 2 of them out of the 10 to take care of you. That you can count on. So that's a good reason to have 10. What were you gonna say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's natural as a mother to, you know, want your kids to have more than you.
Yes.
Now, once again, but you know, for me, it kind of like made me go harder to get it, you know. And, you know, we don't, you know, like I had a good job at UC Berkeley, you know, so I wasn't like, I can't pay for the private school, you know, but what I didn't count on was getting laid off from UC Berkeley. Like, you know, once you're in that lifestyle, I'm not changing my kid's lifestyle. So it just made me go harder to what I had to do.
I love it. You guys. We are really coming to the end of this, and I never like to run over to the next show, but I see some Tisa, were you about to unmute and say something? I saw you going. Go ahead.
I was, but you know,
go ahead.
I don't know how. I just, when you talk about putting your mask on first, you know, sometimes I have to move differently with my children. You know, sometimes where there's a goal to be met, sometimes I'm on Facebook like, hey, what's free this weekend for the kids? Or, we make sure we always have a yearly annual pass at a theme park. And that's where we are all year long. When I'm working on something as a single mother, those are some, just a few of the choices I make to make sure that mask is on so that we're prepared for whatever's to come our way.
I love that comment. I absolutely love that comment. And I like that you said it right then, because my saying what I said is not to, you know, be at detriment to your child, but it is absolutely to figure out a way to make it all happen and really be that super mom, super woman, super all those things, because I know we can. I know we can, but understanding that if I put one thing in place and I make it be a million things, that absolutely is a great thing. And hey, if you can afford, you know, an annual pass to anything these days, you better go once a week just to get your money's worth, right? So that is an absolutely amazing, wonderful idea. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So you guys, again, it is time for us to wind this down. I see Colette has one last comment for us so we can make sure we get this thing. Oh, I see Angela has a comment too. Let me get Angela real quick and then I'll get back to Colette. Go ahead, Angela.
Okay. I'm just going back real quick to what you were talking about as far as us teaching our children.
Yes.
So I didn't want to take too long, so I'm glad we're at the end and I didn't know how much time we had. So I just want to say, you know, for me, I have to do it in sections. So yes. I have my first class, my older class, and then I have my younger class. Mm-hmm. So we have to teach, and it's, and definitely in phases that we are in life. So it's like you kind of go from that. Okay, I want to see what you're going to do with this money. They spend. So now it's about the motive. What are you going to spend? What do you need it for?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you really, really need? And now we're at the point, especially with my older girls, you know, they have their bank accounts and I just take them out. Go ahead and highlight all those places and how many times you ate out, and see if you really need to spend that money. So we've definitely had phases and stages of course, the ages that they grow in. But of course, just to see how that money operates for them. And in tithing, of course, is very important, because now I'm seeing that they are givers, not just for church, but even givers with each other, for the family and their friends. So it's just a lot that goes into that. That's a whole other show by itself for sure.
A lot. 10 and a lot go together. 10 and not a lot don't go together. You're killing me. All right, Colette, go ahead and give us one quick last word.
I'm going to stick to it. 10 is just like 2. I'm going to stick to it, and I ain't changing the story. 10 is like 2. But what
Thank you, Miss Colette.
You're quite welcome. What I wanted to say is that I hope you do another show on this. I really hope that you do a part 2 and 3, because it is that deep. And what I want to say is, a dollar is not a dollar today. A dollar can't do anything for you. $1 does absolutely nothing for you. $100,000 is not what it used to be. Not at all. And I was downtown this morning. I went to employee relations and I was asking about Disneyland tickets. Mm-hmm. My granddaughter, who is turning 11, wants to go to Disneyland for her birthday. Okay, Disneyland. Each ticket is $200. Okay, and yes, it's $200 to go to Disneyland. So I'm pissed off because Bailey's an only child. She wants to go to Disneyland for her birthday, and her mother wants to make sure that she has her way and she gets to go to Disneyland for her birthday. I ain't going. I'm not giving Disneyland $200. I'm just not doing it.
Tisa said it's about the experience.
Sure, it's about the experience. But guess what? I want you all to hold on to your seat. I started going to Disneyland when the ticket to get in was $5.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are 70. You did say that.
I'm 70.
Was that an e-ticket? Was that an e-ticket?
That was it. We did the e-tickets, A, B, D, and E. And E was the premier ride. That was the premium ticket. And they only gave you 2 E tickets. They gave you 4 A tickets, 4 B tickets, some 2 C's, 2 D's, and 1 and 2 E's. The E ticket is what you needed. But today you don't get tickets, but they charge you for everything. So if you go and you get in, you ain't going to eat.
You got to park. You got to eat. You got to do all of it.
And
yes.
Parking is like $30 to park. And if you're going to be there all day long, and it takes all day, you got to eat, and they do not allow you to take food in.
I just see a comment in the chat. Okay. So I'm going to tell you guys, you need to move to Arizona, because one of our guests on here today in Arizona, she said when she went through Kaiser, it was $12. So everybody needs to figure out how she got that.
Yes.
Kaiser's not in Arizona. Right. That must have been out here. I'm just telling you, that's what I'm looking at.
That wasn't recent.
But you guys, we gotta end the show. This is right. I will have all y'all back.
We gotta do a part two and three.
I love it. But wow, thank you guys for joining in for today's show of Smart Money Moves with Helena. I hope this has been helpful and fun for all of you guys. Love you and see you back here soon. Bye, y'all.
Thank you, Helena J.
Thank you. We'll be taking my 8-year-old granddaughter.
Yes, I can't wait for you to come back. So you'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for joining us. Come on back. We love you. Glad you're here. And thank you, folks. This is the Intentional Talk Radio Network. And we are getting ready for Hump Day right here on ITRNradio.com. We're getting ready for In the Mix, Conversations with Colette and Corliss. So stick and stay. Don't go away. We got another show that begins right now, right here on ITRNradio.com.
I don't want to speak. Yahweh, they here for we. Problems run far from me. Oh, yo, yo. Blessings upon blessings go follow. See me now.